the Michael Labersi. How you doing today, man?
Fantastic, Jake. How about yourself?
Hey, I'm doing good, man. It's just going to be a solid day, solid morning. We had lots of sun yesterday, which was delightful. You could actually feel it as we're coming out of these cold winter months. You get out and you actually like physically feel the sun, which, you know, a lot of people in this, a lot of people don't get that concept, that don't live where, you know, where the air hurts your face. You know, that used to be a thing in Alaska is, man, you just, when you could feel it about this time of year, you just see people standing in their driveway, you know, just literally standing out there, blocked out, eyes closed, just trying to absorb any amount of that vitamin D coming off of the big yellow ball. So I'm totally doing that yesterday. The dog does it, comes over, lays in the sun in the window. It's nice. It's one of those things that I start there because that's one of the things I'm grateful for, right? That's why I start there. But I got a good one for you today, man. This is a little bit of an oddball Seinfeld conversation, right? You remember the show Seinfeld? It was a show about nothing. So this has very little to do with what we want to talk about today, but it's something that came up, something actually my sister brought up to me. I was not aware of it. So she brought it up to me and it was one of those really. And so I went down and researched it. So I don't know if you're aware. There are currently two states. There's one leading the charge on this. And there is a second state that's in tow on it. And I've read several articles. I've read the intent of the legislation that they're putting it on there. This is not up for public vote. This is an already in legislature that they're trying to pass it as law and bill without being on a public ballot. The intent is to decriminalize prostitution. Like they want to legalize it, not just one side of it, like some of the some states have done. Some other spaces have decriminalized the act of selling sex, but it's still criminal to solicit, right? So it's just a bizarre thing. Now, why do I bring this up? My personal thought on this is one thing. Now, of course, the legislators are saying that the reason they want to do it is because law enforcement is overtasked. They have too many things to do. And if they didn't have to, this is one of them. If they didn't have to worry about going out and trying to bust people, you know, that are consenting adults, they could focus on other bigger crime, right? They could focus on that. So this is a way to relieve some of the tasking of law enforcement. The other thought process behind this, and I kind of see this one, but I'm not in this space, so I don't really see it, and I'll own this, is the intent that it could reduce human trafficking by going this way, by creating, hit me.
Let me ask you something. Okay, prostitution is largely illegal anyway, but do we see a reduction in human trafficking? Like,
I don't know. Like, that's just it. How do you track that?
I feel like you hear all about human trafficking constantly. In the sub universe and on these like rando internet news feeds and even mainstream news, sometimes you hear about it, you know, it's a dangerous game. I don't know that. I kind of think that if you have like legal weed, the importation of weed may or may not have dropped. I think that's a statistic you need to look at. And if you want to legalize prostitution, legalizing, as a matter of fact, if it's legal, maybe you have more people going into these places and saying, okay, I'm going to go, you know, solicit a sex worker. Let me look around. Hey, I'm going to report the fact that there's a couple of people in this establishment that don't look like they want to be here. In other words, more eyes on. I'm just pulling up a non-adversarial point of view here. And regardless of the religion, regardless of the spread of this, spread of that, at what point do we allow government to overarch into every element of surprise, right? So it's like, I want to have free will in a lot of categories in my life. And for certain practical reasons, there's laws out there. Like you can't roll around just getting angry with people and bashing them with a bat until they're dead, right? If I want to have intercourse with somebody and somebody wants to charge me for it, I don't know. Like, to me, it's, you know, I wouldn't want to partake in any of that just because of germ factor and all that stuff. And then you can look at the morality thing later. But law enforcement's overtaxed, but what do we look at? Let's talk about what they're overtaxed with.
Well, that's exactly it. So that's where I kind of brought this up a little bit. So the two states that are doing this are Colorado and Illinois. The reason I bring it up in Colorado, I still have family there. I was raised there, grew up there. You know, it was a very, you know, when we came back from Alaska in 2015, because we left Wyoming in 2005, went to Alaska for a decade, came back in 2015, and we noticed it because we were out of it. We were gone, that it was not the same place that we left. It was a very different vibe altogether, just everywhere. It was just different. And now it's more different. One of the things that I've thought about this is why. Why are we bringing this up? You know, is this we joked about it a little bit when I was thinking about this, and yeah, they haven't had any snow this year. The ski areas are way down on lift tickets and tourism is way down. Are we literally thinking this is a way to bring tourism and revenue back into the state from a monetary standpoint? I don't know. But the thing that I think this is I don't know if you remember a movie called Wag the Dog. Wag the Dog. I think that's what this is. Myself, I think this bill is a distractor. I think because it's not founded. There's not enough meat in it, you know, to the point of saying, okay, the police force is overtasked. To Mike's point, what are they overtasked with? What should we be looking at? Is it a way to deal? But the thing is, they aren't sex traffic. The human trafficking piece is not their foundation. Right. It's in there. They're like, it could help. Right. But it's not their foundation. So myself, I think there's something else going through legislature that they want the general pop to not be paying attention to. You know, they want it to go through relatively quickly with little abrasion. So they're going to bring up some other thing that we're going to go, oh, my God, are you serious? And we're going to latch on to that. So I it happens, right? This is politics. This is how the game is played. It's part of the system. And there's another one. The reason I think this is because there's one that's gone on since I was a little kid called Glade Reservoir, Northern Colorado. There has been
how do you find out about this stuff? The land
I lived grass, there.
Glade Reservoir. Right? Like what are you reading?
I listen to podcasts kind of like ours, and people should do that. They should check us out on Simplecast and Apple and Spotify and YouTube and everywhere. Check out the podcast, man. If you're listening to us here, share it, like, subscribe. But that's where a lot of this comes from. But Glade, I grew up there. Like, we literally owned property where they were going to flood it. That's how I know about it. Like, I literally lived in the middle of it. And it's north of Fort Collins on 287 between Fort Collins and Laramie. And the discussion has long been for, like, good Lord, 40 plus years now, that they're going to flood this valley. They've got to, you know, and they got to pull water from somewhere. And every time they bring it up, there is a, it's called Save the Poudre. So the Poudre River flows down the Poudre Canyon, and it is a major source for lots of recreation. It's a beautiful space. It's awesome. But there is a coalition that's Save the Poudre Water, and they believe that the Glade is going to take all the water away. And there's a whole thing about it. The thing about Glade, it is a wag the dog. It's 100% wag the dog, because every time the reservoir has been proposed for more than 40 years. This is not that it came up last year, and it's never been built. It's just sitting there. Once in a while, they go up there with a drill and they test some stuff and they do some little stuff, but they'll bring it up during another time of opposition when something else that's out there that could cause a public uproar, that could cause some town hall problems, they'll roll Glade out. They'll just pull that thing out of the closet and say, hey, we're going to launch this. And everybody goes over there and goes, oh, my God, you can't do that. And the thing they want passed gets passed. The most recent one was called Butterfly Reservoir. And that was a great big reservoir with the largest vertical asphalt dam ever permitted in North America. Nobody even heard about this thing until it was passed. Boom, here you go.
Nobody's ever heard about this thing until right now.
Nobody had heard about it until after it was passed. It was already
on the people a mile and a half from there that don't have any idea what the hell.
That had no idea it was going on because they were all freaked out about Glade. I'll roll into kind of what we wanted to talk about, but I just wanted to throw that out, kind of a Seinfeld episode. Whatever your thoughts are on whatever these are going on, maybe you're the legislator that put this on. I'd love to hear your thoughts.
I personally, I personally don't. I don't. I just don't know that making weed legal makes it okay for more illegal weed to be sold. Maybe it does, maybe it doesn't. But to connect without evidence, and I'd have to deep dive into this, but to really connect the horror of trafficking to legal prostitution, you have to figure out the nexus. And maybe if somebody did a deep dive, maybe that would be a great way to sort of root out. And again, we're talking about people's lives here. So this is, you know, with all due respect, this is a conversation, not a point of view. Mm-hmm. But maybe that's a great way to start targeting some of these creeps that are doing this trafficking, doing this horrific, monstrous behavior, and figure out, hey, who wants to be here and who doesn't, right? And what that's all about. I just think it's maybe you're right. Maybe it's a wag the dog, shock and awe thing. And that happens a lot. That's happened through multiple, and that's a political move. That happened through multiple presidencies, both Republican and Democrat. You got a lot of wag the dog going on. And then you also have opposition saying that that wag the dog's happening in every administration. Mm-hmm. I can remember a family member of mine saying, oh, so-and-so is a good orator. They're doing this here and that there. And then, you know, I'm in a conversation 3 years later, different administration. Someone basically did the same gesture, except they use an open hand and a jazz hand somewhere else. I said, man, that's ironic. If I could, you know, if I had a microphone and a camera guy on me every second of the day to roll through my week hearing both sides of the fence on the political level is amazing, because I do a lot of business in and outside of DC. So politics are on the pulse of everyone there. I don't care who you are. You have to have your finger on the pulse of what's going on politically. It's just the vibe. You could be anywhere. Like you're talking about this outdoor stuff in Colorado. It's kind of like you got to have your finger on the vibe of where you are. It's just organic. It's natural. And it is part, it is a byproduct of the area you're in. I do think, you know, Colorado, they always say over here on the East Coast that it's the Wild West, and it's certainly getting wilder. And it's certainly, I don't know, maybe I can appreciate the wag the dog move, not with the subject matter at hand, not people's lives, but the idea of it, right? I mean, I feel like that happens a lot. I feel like there's always a way to juice the system. And I'm not being negative. But when you want to get something done, I'm learning that you have to learn how to politically or physically get it done. So let's change topics. I have an idea that connects to this about getting something done, right? And let's talk about negotiating. And you brought it up with the wag the dog thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I was listening to the Stones the other day, Can't Always Get What You Want. But sometimes you get what you need. You know, as we talk about negotiating, if I want to get something done, I go in and say, man, I've got a 10, but I know that I'll settle for 7 out of 10. Mm-hmm. Because I know that if I kind of get, unless I'm really compelling, I'm not going to get a 10 out of 10. Let's say I bring up a business idea to you. And I plant a flag and say, Jake, this is what I would like to try to do. Let me give you all the details. Have you flush it out. Week and a half later, I'll get a 6 out of 10, a 5 out of 10, a 9 out of 10. But regardless of whatever I'm getting back, it's cool. And we go with it, right? That's kind of how our partnership works. Or vice versa. You plant a flag. We put an idea out there. Now, when you talk about wag the dog, I'm not doing that with you, and you're not doing that with me. But when you're in your business coaching and you're in that role and you're talking about higher ups delegating, and or subordinates back up. Let's talk about that in terms of the art of negotiation inside of a company, because we were talking about corporations today.
Yeah. So first of all, my mom will love the fact that you just stuck a Rolling Stones song in my head. She's been a Stones fan since she was little. So that's hysterical. It's fully in there. It's playing on loop already. Those guys, talk about people that work so hard. I mean, look at Mick Jagger. He weighs like 45 pounds. He's been running across the stage, jumping and doing all the stuff for, 150 years at this point. So hard working bunch of guys, no question. They're something else. But so when we talk about the negotiation thing, there's a couple of spaces, right? If you're going to come with I have an idea with another person, and I want to define negotiating a little bit, where a little bit more from where Mike is. If Mike's going to come to me and plant the flag and say, okay, I'm thinking about this, but I'm willing to get to here, then we're going to have a conversation with each other, and we're going to get to there, and we're going to set a standard of, okay, we agree, and this is what we're going to execute on, is this particular thing. And it's getting to that agreement part. Now, there's also if you're alone and you're negotiating with yourself, you're not negotiating, right? You're settling for a standard. And this is easy to see, because a lot of times we'll go, well, I want to make $1 million this year, but I'll settle for 80. Well, you just set a standard of, you just set a standard that I'm going to do the work for 80,000 this year. So that's how your brain is going to work. You've got to set that standard with yourself. Like, if you just keep negotiating with yourself, and you can look at this, you've heard this. Oh, I think it was Jenny Craig used to talk about this a lot in the old commercials, old weight loss commercials, of how bad it was to negotiate with yourself. You know, okay, well, I'll only have this one little donut today to be able, I'll cheat a little bit on my caloric intake, but that just keeps you in the cycle when you're negotiating with yourself. That's one of those, like, so I wanted to define it a little bit, just a little bit more, as far as when I'm coaching with somebody, because it is two different spaces. If I'm going to coach you on sales negotiation, it is going to be what Mike was talking about. We're going to go, okay, what's the absolute best possible outcome that you're going for when you guys roll into this merger meeting or whatever you're going to do? It's this, 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 and this. All right. What are you willing to accept? I don't use the word settle for, right? That's a different thing. That brings on a different connotation. But what are you willing to accept at the end? What are you going to walk out of there and say, okay, this was a win for us and them. We're all happy in this space. And then we're going to build the strategy based on what the ultimate outcome is, and knowing that we're going to have to negotiate and we're going to have to get to a spot. Now, if I'm coaching you on what your goals are, we're just going to find out what the standard is, because the reality is, no matter what, with a human being, this is just how we operate. If you're going to tell me, sure, it'd be nice to make $1 million this year, I already know you're not going to make $1 million this year. Like, I can tell you that right now based on your language. And we're going to start with the, all right, how much money do you need to survive? It's $67,286. Super specific. People are going to know that number of what it's going to be. And then we have to get to a middle ground with them. I'm going to negotiate with them to get them to some place that they're going to agree, all right, $150,000. I will not accept less. I will not do less work. This is 100% what I'm going to do. I guarantee it. I promise. And that's where I'm going to go. And that's the step that's going to get me to the $1 million in X amount of time. So it's.
No, I had a thought on that before you continue. I'm going to come at it in maybe a different order. I'm going to say, what do you have to actually offer to get you to $1 million?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say, what are you selling? Obviously, it's probably a predisposed conversation, but somebody says, I want to net or gross $1 million this year. What are you doing now? What are your sales? What's your output? What are you doing for a living? Like, where
you got to understand the gap. Yeah.
Do you have anything in place? Do you realize based on your current situation? Now, your current situation is at 800,000. It's a little bit different story. Getting to, but if it's at 62.5 or 150,000, to 10x is a whole different deal. And I looked at, here's a hack for you people out there. So in our world, I'm not getting off topic, but I'm getting on topic about what it takes and negotiation. If you actually take a look, if you have a Meta Business Suite, and I'm going to put this out there for everybody, go to Meta Ads Manager and look up some of the people that you see that are marketing some of these things, and you're going to see that those people have no less than 30 different ads simultaneously running at the same time. You can see the ad, you can engage with them. It's basically, Meta Ads Manager is basically, when you're a professional like we are and you're running ads and you're doing things, You can go out there and see what other people are doing. This is not a trade secret. This is what people do. There's other software that gives you more of a deep dive, but this is a crude, easy way. If you're thinking about running ads and you're a business, you go out there and you click and say, wow, so-and-so is a current advertiser. Certain people have that budget to become omnipresent running ads. 30 different ads that are active. It's crazy. With all different tiles, all different copy, five different versions of each ad, very sophisticated stuff. Now that brings us back to the conversation. It's eye-opening that if you're either not networking like crazy, marketing like crazy, or doing something like crazy to go from where you are to $1 million, if, assuming you're not already at $1 million, is a big jump. And no, everyone, before you even talk about it, we didn't start talking about prostitution and then talking about negotiating so you can go ahead and negotiate with a prostitute. That's not what this was about.
I'm glad you stipulated that. Thank you.
I got to clean it up for the audience. Otherwise, they won't know, right? They won't have any idea. Like, wait, these two dudes are whack.
Use your superpowers for good, Mike.
That's what I'm doing. We went from talking about political negotiation to business negotiation, not, you know, backroom prostitution negotiation.
Which apparently is going to be front room in a few states. So, you know, that's, but we're.
More power to it, man. If they can tax it, make it work. And
I think, like I said, if it passes, it's going to be another revenue generator for the state. And maybe that money's going to go into. Colorado's got pot money, and their original pot money went into parks and recreation. They've got some epic trail systems, absolutely beautiful. Their state parks are absolutely gorgeous.
Beautiful.
Did they use that money appropriately? Yeah. I think
absolutely.
They did. And what are they going to do with this one? I don't have a clue. Couldn't even speculate. I just found it interesting in that space. So, yeah.
They're rolling around over there, and you're like, just go to Denver, for example, like big city, easy to get to, right? If you roll around Denver now, I mean, there's certain parts that are dumpy, but like when you roll around like Cherry Creek even or Highlands Ranch, just the between the houses, the park, the pathway systems, there's all these recreational spaces. Now, I'm a recreational guy. You're a recreational enthusiast. To me and you, that's awesome. We want to be able to just pop out, not at the trailblaze all the time, have readily available things to us. That's a wonderful way to spend money. Other people, maybe not. Other towns and cities, maybe not.
Yeah. So that goes, you know, let's finish it out with something tactical. You know, okay. that you guys can take away, even though I was in a mood yesterday and I was going to post a video about, you know, here's what I'm learning today. You take whatever you want. I'm not giving you the lesson. Cause it was just one of those days like, yeah, I'm tired of doing all the hard work for you. I'm tired of telling you how the tactics work. And it was just, I didn't do the video obviously, but I was just in a kind of an ironic, irritable mood, while I was working on finishing cabinets and that just in one of those spaces, Mike knows, he called me this weekend. He knows what kind of mood I was in. So back to that plant the flag, like the partnership that we've got, and Mike does this all the time. Like he knows with me and I do it with him too. All right, here's the grand scheme. Here's the grand plan. Here's the big one that I want to go. And I'm willing to accept this. Here's what I'm trying to get to. This is where I want to get to eventually. And I intend to get there eventually. It's not a made up goal. It's not a made up strategy. It's not a made up thing. It's still an intention of where you're going to be. And you can use this in business. You can use it in weight loss, quitting smoking, take your pick, pick your thing, of ultimately, this is where I'm going to be. This is where I'm going to get to is I'm going to plant this flag there. And I just have to plot the roadmap between where I am and where I'm going. But you, to Mike's point, you got to understand where you are. Because it, you know, to know to the exact same thing, right? If the intention is we're both going to be in Long Beach, California here in a couple of weeks. But if we don't know where we are, how the hell are we getting to Long Beach? Like we have no idea, you know, if we don't know where we are. So you've got to know where you are so you can plan the trip. That's the easiest description that I can give you to get where you're going. You got to know where you want to get, but you got to know where you are.
Amen to that, dude. Well, we are running short on time. My takeaways from today are you know, be careful before you buy in, right? Look for the wag the dog first. I mean, I know it's a cynical way to go, but in anything, it always behooves you to take two steps forward, whether you're picking something to do, whether you're a high school kid picking electives. Look for the wag the dog. Make sure you're making the right choices. If you're a college kid and you're picking some courses, you know, figure out where you're going with all that. Have a little bit of a plan. Understand the impact and repercussions of that stuff. And then make a choice. Make a decision. So, all right, man, we are out of time. So, everybody, thanks for tuning in to Total Disruption. For Dr. Jake Clendenning, I'm Mike Liberace. We'll see you next time. Now it's time for you to disrupt.